Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
All right, I want to invite you to grab your Bibles this morning and let you guess where we may find ourselves. We will be in the book of Jonah, and so you can either go to Matthew in the New Testament and hang a left, or you can look in the table of contents, which is always a good place to know where you're at in your Bible, and you can figure out where the book of Jonah is. A couple of things just by way of letting you know on the front end of this message. One, we have some friends that are with us from the great state of Georgia. And everybody said, okay, that's all right. There's like three of us that love Georgia. That's okay. It's good. You'll get to heaven and realize it's there. So, amen. So we have some friends that are here with us from Georgia. One of Anna's best friends from school, and so they have to go back after the service this morning. So Anna said to me yesterday, "Daddy, can you preach really long so they don't have to go back?" That sounds cute, doesn't it, till you realize we may be in for a 4 or 5 hour sermon today, right? What we're going to talk about this morning, I hope, will not only encourage you, but challenge you as we begin to walk through the book of Jonah, as we begin to not only look at Jonah's response to the Lord when God called him on mission, but move beyond just thinking about Jonah to looking at ourselves and asking ourselves, what is the mission to which God has called us? What does God want to do with our lives here on this earth? What is he attempting to do in and through us? We're going to see this morning in the first chapter of the book of Jonah what it means when we run from the mission that God has for us. And so I want to read verse 1 through 17 of Jonah chapter 1, and then I want us to pray and walk back through the text this morning. So this is what God's word says, beginning in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And then they said to him, 'Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you?' And he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' And then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'What is this that you have done?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And then he said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?' For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, 'Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Father, we come to you in this moment and we ask that you would open our eyes to see, that you would open our ears to hear, that you would open our hearts, that we'd be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Have you ever found yourself running from what God told you to do? No? Just me? All right. We'll play that, okay? What we see in the text this morning is God speaking to Jonah, beginning in verse 1, and he says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and said, arise, that was first, go to Nineveh, that was second, that great city, and third, call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Now, let me bring you up to speed on where we are in the book of Jonah at this point in time. Israel is a nation. It is a great nation at this point. It had experienced some incredible prosperity. Jonah, we encounter him previously in the scriptures, and we realize that he was a prophet that was sent by God, and that his ministry was to encourage the people of Israel. Because God was doing incredible things in the life of the nation of Israel at that point, Jonah had what I would say is a pretty good ministry. In fact, Jonah's ministry up until this point, before God calls him to go to Nineveh, is really not a difficult ministry. Simply a reminder for us that sometimes God calls us to do things that aren't all that difficult, and sometimes God calls us to do things that are incredibly difficult. Jonah had experienced an incredible time being a prophet in Israel, but the word of God came to Jonah, and God said, Jonah, I need to send you on a mission. You got to know at this moment, Jonah was experiencing probably some excitement, was looking forward to, all right, what's next, God? I've experienced an incredible ministry up until this point in the nation of Israel. It's got to only get better from here. God, what are you calling me to do? God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, for you and I, we don't think a whole lot about the city of Nineveh, but if you were around at that point in time, Nineveh was an incredibly wicked city. It was the capital city of Assyria, which was a ruling nation at that point that would eventually come in and take over Israel. And so they were arch enemies of the Israelites. They were a pagan nation. And God's message to Jonah is, hey, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. God, what? What'd you say? In fact, if you notice, God says, arise, which means, Jonah, get up. Go to Nineveh, the great city, and here's what I want you to do. Verse 2, call out against it, for their evil has come upon me. They don't teach you that in seminary. Calling out against someone. In fact, what God was calling Jonah to do was to go into this pagan city and to tell them, you guys are a bunch of sinners, and unless you repent, God's going to bring judgment on you. That's a good way to win friends and influence people, isn't it? That was the mission that God had sent Jonah to accomplish. I want to just take note and say to you that first truth we encounter in the text this morning is that God's mission is incredibly urgent. See, we see here God's heart, not just for his people, but God's heart for all people. In case you didn't know that, maybe you're new to church or new to Christianity, God loves people. People that look like us and talk like us, and people that don't look like us and talk like us. God's heartbeat is for people to know Him, to repent of their sin and walk in relationship with Him. That's the reason that God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, so that we could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's God's purpose. That's God's mission. Jonah had experienced incredible times in Israel, but God says, I want you to leave Israel and I want you to go to your enemies. I want you to go to this pagan place and I want you to share with them the truth of who I am. I want you to call out before them and let them know of their sin and let them know that their sin is an offense against me. And until they turn from their sin, I'm going to bring judgment against them. Now, you got to know that that was probably not the assignment Jonah wanted. And yet, that was the assignment that God had given him. Here's the thing that you and I need to recognize as well. God's given us an assignment. God has given us a mission. Jesus left this earth leaving us with what we call the Great Commission. That is, that we as His disciples are called to make disciples of other people. Meaning that throughout our daily lives, God has called us to interact with the people that we go to work with, the people that we go to school with, the people that we live next door to, the people that we shop with, the people that we eat at with in restaurants. God has called us to share the gospel, who Jesus is and what He's done, with them. And when they respond by faith, to teach them all that Jesus has commanded. That's what God has called you to do. That's what God has called me to do if we're a follower of Jesus this morning. And so this mission that Jonah was given is pretty similar to the mission that God has given us. That we're to go and we are to make disciples of all nations. You just pause for a moment and ask yourself that question. Am I doing what God has called me to do? The mission is urgent. It is an urgent mission that God has given us. The mission of making disciples, of sharing the gospel with people, of seeing them come to faith, and of teaching them all that Jesus has commanded us to do. That mission that God has given us is an urgent mission because apart from them responding by faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, they'll spend eternity separated from God in hell. It's not a, if you want to do this, Christian. It is a urgent mission that God has given us, much the same as the urgent mission that God had given Jonah. Now, if verse 3 was not there, we could just assume that Jonah did what God called him to do. But we encounter a three-letter word in verse 3 at the beginning that says, but. You ever identify with that? God says, here's what I want you to do, and the response is, but God, you don't know my neighbor. But God, you don't know the kind of family that I come from. But God, my boss is crazy. But God, I'm nervous, and I don't really know what to say. But God, there's this fear that when I begin to try to talk with someone about who Jesus is and what He's done in my life, I seem to clam up. I'm not really sure what to do. It says here in verse 3, but Jonah, after he had heard from the Lord to do three things, arise, go to Nineveh, and call out, says Jonah rose. At least he got that one right. But he fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship that was going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare, and he went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. God said, Jonah, I want you to arise. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to call out against it. Jonah says, I'm going to arise, but I'm going down to Joppa, headed to Tarshish, away, twice we see, away from the presence of the Lord. Ever found yourself there? Attempting by all your might and power to escape the presence of the Lord? If you Think about it. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. At least they attempted to do that. After they had sinned against God, you remember God comes in the cool of the day to walk with them. The Bible says they were hiding from God. That's the wrong person to try to hide from. The God who knows everything. Jonah at this moment is trying to escape the presence of God. So he says, if Nineveh's where you want me to go, I'm going to go in the exact opposite direction. So he pays the fare. He gets on board the ship and he's headed in the opposite direction. Verse 4. But the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. The mariners were afraid, which means that these people who made their living by navigating the seas, if they were afraid, this was not a small thunderstorm. This was a serious storm. We know it was a serious storm because we know that God's trying to get Jonah's attention. Because as Jonah's trying to run from the presence of the Lord, God's reminding Jonah, it doesn't matter where you run, it doesn't matter how fast you run. It doesn't matter how far you think you can get from my presence. Jonah, don't you remember that I created the seas that you're riding on right now? So the Lord throws great wind upon the sea. There was a mighty tempest. The mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. If you notice, that's little g God. At this point in time, they don't know the one true God that Jonah knows. And so, in the midst of this difficulty, they began to pray to whichever God they're trying to worship at this point in time, likely the God of the sea, thinking that maybe if we can appease this God of the sea, that maybe it'll stop and the storm will cease. Not only did they pray, but they hurled cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it. Now notice this. I don't know if you've ever been on a boat that is going into a storm. Are you sleeping? Jonah is. I mean, everyone else is absolutely terrified of the storm that's on the sea. Everyone else is beside themselves. These guys are praying to gods they don't even know if they exist or not. They're throwing the cargo overboard, hoping to make the ship a little bit lighter so it could traverse the seas better. They're doing everything that they know to do, and Jonah is sleeping in the bottom of the boat. For a moment, Jonah thought that he'd get some rest from the presence of God. Thought for a moment that if he ran from God, maybe he would get a little bit of peace and God wouldn't worry about him. Just a reminder for us, in our running from God, oftentimes it affects other people. Our sin certainly has effect and consequences on us, but oftentimes it does on other people as well. And where we may think we're experiencing a bit of peace in this moment running from God, the truth is that's the furthest thing that we're experiencing and those around us are experiencing. In this moment, Jonah is fast asleep in the bottom of the boat, and the captain came to him and said, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." Isn't it sad that a pagan man who worships a false god has to come to Jonah, who worships the true God, and tell him to pray? Verse 7, they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. You got to know in that moment, Jonah's thinking, oh, I hope it doesn't pick me. Oh, not me. They said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. They began asking Jonah, what's your occupation? I'm a preacher, right? That's a good one. Jonah, what's your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? Verse 9. He said to them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Jonah's response to the men at least was somewhat truthful. He was a follower of the one true God. He says that he fears God, but maybe a little shaky on that because he had been running from God. Maybe God had gotten his attention at this point in time. But Jonah in this moment has to come face to face with the reality that he is attempting to run from God, and the hound of heaven has caught up with him. God's found him. The men in verse 10 were exceedingly afraid, and they said to them, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Imagine how that conversation went. They asked Jonah, who are you? What's your job? Where are you from? What are you doing? And Jonah begins at the beginning. He says, well, guys, listen. I worship the one true God. I know you guys are praying to all number of gods. You don't really know if you know them or not, but I worship the one true God. It's the God who created everything that exists. In fact, these seas where the storm is that we're riding on and the fear that you have, he controls all of that. And he told me to do something. In fact, he told me to go to Nineveh, which if your geography is as good as my geography, is in the exact opposite direction of where we're going. And he said, this is what I was supposed to do. I was going to go and call out against them and tell them that God was going to bring judgment against them. But guys, I mean, I was worried for my life. And I ran from him trying to get away from his presence. And you got to know, these guys around him who were not worshipers of the God that we worship, they're looking saying, oh no, what are we going to do? Because if your God does truly control the seas and you're running from him, we don't know what to do. How do we respond to this? Verse 12, he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know that it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Jonah says, in running from God, in this experience where these men are wondering, how do we stop what's going on? Jonah says, throw me overboard. Now, here's what I've always wondered. In this moment, did Jonah just want to die? That's what I'm wondering. I mean, I'm wondering that if Jonah is running from God and he's experiencing all that's going around, and Jonah in this moment says, I give up. I'm done. Throw me into the sea. If God's anger is being brought against me and pulling this out, then if I'm dead, it'll stop. Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land. They thought, maybe if we keep you in the boat, Jonah, and we try harder, we can make it through this. But it didn't work. Therefore, in verse 14, they called out to the Lord. not to a little g god. Did you notice that? These pagan men who didn't know the Lord prior to this encounter with Jonah begin to call out to the Lord. Even in Jonah's sin, even in Jonah's rebellion, even in Jonah trying to escape from the presence of the Lord, God's continuing to work in people's lives around him. They call out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah, and they hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. Even in Jonah's disobedience, God is able to redeem people for himself. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, the first truth was God's mission is incredibly urgent, but here's the second truth. God's mission involves using broken people. I think sometimes we have this mindset that God only uses the best and the brightest. That God only uses those who are most qualified to carry out the mission that he's given us. In fact, if you think about it, oftentimes it's portrayed as if those who are called to full-time Christian ministry, pastors and missionaries, those are the ones who are qualified to carry out God's mission. And you get to, as a believer, enjoy that and participate with them as they carry out God's mission. But I want to try to break that paradigm for you, because God's called every single believer on mission. Meaning that every single one of us, whether you're a pastor, a missionary, or an accountant, or a banker, or a farmer, school teacher, doesn't matter. God has called you and God has called me to be involved in the mission of making disciples of all nations. That means there are none who are better than others. There are none who are more qualified than others to carry out the mission. Why? Because God uses broken people. Every single person that God uses is a sinner that's saved by grace. Every single person that God uses is not qualified except for the fact that Christ has saved us from our sin. Every person that God uses doesn't have the power to do what he's called us to do, except that his Spirit lives within us, giving us the power to accomplish the mission that he's called us to accomplish. God has a habit of using broken people to accomplish his mission. And so if you're sitting there this morning and you're saying, "Michael, you don't understand, I'm not the most qualified." Good. Because that's the kind of people that God uses. Say, "Michael, I don't know everything." Good. Neither do I. Say, "Michael, I get nervous." Good. So have many other people. Think about Moses. Moses says, "God, I can't speak." God says, "That's fine. I'll send you a mouthpiece." God calls his disciples, and everybody else looks at them and they say that they're untrained and uneducated men. Just a bunch of redneck fishermen who turn the world upside down. God has a habit of using broken, unqualified people to accomplish his mission. And so if that's you, which let me just say, that's all of us, then we're exactly the kind of people that God uses to accomplish his mission. You know, I think about this and I wonder, what if Jonah had just given, or what if God had just given up on Jonah? What if God had said to Jonah, That's fine. You want to be disobedient, meet the sea, and swim with the fishies, right? And you just die. But God didn't give up on Jonah in this moment. Jonah may have thought that God was just going to let him die in the ocean. But verse 17, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah had bought a one-way ticket on a boat to Tarshish, and God had exchanged that fare for a one-way ticket in a fish to Nineveh. God took this broken person who was running from what he had called them to do, and God said, the mission's going to be accomplished. You know, it's interesting when we run from God that God disciplines us. That's what God's doing here for Jonah. God is trying to get Jonah's attention in the boat, in the storm. And then God gets Jonah's attention. Let's be honest. When's the last time you got swallowed by a fish? That's got to be an attention getter, right? Jonah's thinking at this point that I'm just going to die in the ocean, and God says, whoa, whoa, whoa. I got a holding tank I'm going to put you in for just a little while. It's called a fish. And you're going to be there. But Jonah, don't ever forget that the mission is going to be accomplished. God gives us the mission of making disciples. God uses broken people just like us. And God's promise is that His mission will be accomplished. Here's the question for us this morning. Are we taking seriously the mission that God has given us of making disciples in our homes and our workplaces? Are we taking seriously the commission that Jesus left us with? Are we walking in obedience to that, or are we running from it? You may be here this morning, and the truth is you're experiencing right now God's discipline in your life for not walking in obedience to what He's called you to do. God doesn't dislike you. In fact, it's the exact opposite. As His child, God disciplines those that He loves, and He wants to deploy us to do what He's called us to do. So if you're running from God this morning and what God's called you to do, can I say to you, God's not done with you yet. Is it going to take a fish to swallow you to get your attention? Because God's not above that. God can do that. You may be absolutely miserable this morning, and the reason is because you're running from what God's called you to do. You're running from that relationship that God's called you to share the gospel in. You're running from that opportunity that God has set before you. God desires to use broken people. And church, here's the encouraging thing. The mission will be accomplished. That's the guarantee that we have, that God will accomplish His mission in and through our lives, that God will bring to those salvation that need to hear. God will use you, God will use me, God will use other believers to take the gospel where it needs to go. And His mission ultimately will be accomplished. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Will He do it through us, or will He do it in spite of us? If the mission's going to be accomplished, I want Him to do it through us. I want Him to do it through the ministry of North River Church, through us living as missionaries in this community and wherever God calls us to go. I want the mission to be accomplished, not in spite of us, church. I want it to be accomplished through us. It takes obedience. It takes a willingness to take the mission urgent. It takes us being obedient to what God's called us to do.
Will we let God use us to do what he wants to do? Let's pray this morning. Father, we come to you and we thank you for the story of Jonah, which when we boil it all down is a story of your faithfulness. Story of the fact that you love people of all tribes and tongues and nations, and that your desire is for them to walk in relationship with you, that they would hear the gospel and respond. Father, there may be those that are here this morning that for the first time today have heard the truth of what Jesus has done for them. And this morning, they need to respond to that by faith, placing their faith and trust in him for salvation. And if that's true for them, Father, would you give them the strength and the courage to do just that this morning? Father, there may be some this morning who are not sensing the urgency of the mission, the reality that on this planet that we live on, of 7 billion people, billions of people will die and spend eternity in hell. God, would you break our hearts for that reality? Would you use us to share the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done, so that they, like us, can come to faith in Christ? If there's some this morning that are running from the mission that you've called them to, Father, would you help them turn, repent of that disobedience, and follow you? We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. You respond this morning.